When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Buy new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
Now your host... LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassar.
Well, Eric Lauer does it again to the Dodgers. 5 scoreless innings in a Brewers uniform this time, and the Dodgers fall 2-1. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vassar with you until 9 o'clock tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. Ned Coletti will be joining us in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's game as well. Eric Lauer now 6-0 against the Dodgers in his career with an ERA under 2. Against the rest of the National League, his ERA is almost 5. So for whatever reason, this left-hander gives the Dodgers fits, and Dave Roberts didn't have any answers about it either. Trevor Bauer's the losing pitcher, hard luck losing pitcher. He's now 3-1, and Josh Hader with his 6th save of the season. I said this during the clubhouse show, but it does bear repeating. Trevor Bauer now has the distinction of being the first pitcher since Rich Hill in 2017 with the Dodgers to have a complete game loss. 8 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, his 6th complete game of his career, and the only mistake he made was a hanging curveball to Travis Shaw with 2 outs in the 4th inning, and when your team's not scoring runs, that is going to cost you, and it certainly did. 866-987-2570. The Dodgers have now lost 8 of 11. Their record is 16-10. They're half game back of the San Francisco Giants, who now have the best record in baseball. They're in first place in the National League West. I laughed because nobody thought the Giants were going to be a factor this year, but they've been getting great pitching, and their veterans have had a renaissance. Evan Longoria, Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, they've all stepped up to start the year, and that's part of the reason why they're a half game better than the Dodgers at this point, who continue to struggle offensively. I think there's a lot of different reasons why a team struggles. You have a combination of guys going bad at the same time, no doubt. Sometimes you don't have the talent to score, but that's not the case with the Dodgers. They do miss Zach McKinstry, and they do miss Cody Bellinger, no doubt about it. But Cody Bellinger is not a savior. I'm not sure if you saw him hit the last year and a half. He's a really good player, but he's not a savior. He is going to make a difference, no doubt about it, but he's not a savior. When you have one of your best players in Corey Seager, who is a very aggressive hitter, and I have no issues with any hitter swinging at the first pitch if they are successful doing it. And Corey Seager has been in his career, 400 career hitter on the first pitch that he sees. But you're not going to win every game by hitting 3 home runs or 4 home runs and scoring 6 or 7 runs. This is not the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's not the Colorado Rockies. These are a very good Milwaukee Brewers team that has a really good pitching staff. Their offense isn't great, especially without Lokane and Yelich, but their pitching is good, and their bullpen is good. And when you're going up against one of the best relievers in baseball, no, not Josh Hader, that's another one, their setup guy, Devin Williams, and Devin Williams issues a four-pitch walk to start the eighth inning to Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts, your most dynamic player, four-pitch walk at first base. You're losing 2-0. You have not been able to get anything going all game long. And now you have a four-pitch walk. You got one of the better relievers off his game tonight standing right in front of you. And you swing at the first pitch changeup. For me, that's not great game awareness. And I tweeted that as it happened. I thought it was a horrible baseball decision by Corey Seager to not recognize the fact that Devin Williams was off his game. And yes, sometimes he's off his game and you could hit a pitch in the strike zone if he leaves it out over the plate. But in this case, Devin Williams was off his game because he couldn't find the strike zone. So why not take a pitch at the very least, or maybe even two pitches? Give your guy Mookie Betts a chance to get into scoring position. With a guy that couldn't find the strike zone, the Dodgers are so good at those dirt balls that we saw Chris Taylor take advantage of in the outfield to get to second base. And we've seen Chris Taylor do that yesterday during the Reds series as well. And the Dodgers are notorious for being good readers of the baseball in the dirt. Anything could have happened the way Devin Williams was pitching. And that's why it's hard for me to watch the game and not point that out. I'm just tired of watching the Dodgers waiting for a two-run, three-run home run. That's not the way you score, especially when you're going up against one of the better relief pitchers in baseball. And I heard what Dave Roberts said, and look, he's in a different position than I'm in. He's the manager of the player that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I'm sure he doesn't want to start criticizing him in a game in April. But look, I'm on after every game. I have to diagnose what took place, and that was bad. I'm sorry. I love Corey Seager. Nobody's been a bigger advocate for Corey Seager, even since he was in the minor leagues. I have defended him for swinging at first pitches, but there is a time and place for everything in a baseball game, and that was not the time or place to swing at the first pitch, and it's not about the double play. It's not about that. It was a great play by Urias. I don't care if Seager gets a base hit. It still wasn't the right baseball play. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Manny. Manny, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vassay. Hi, Manny.
What's up, Diamond Dave? How are you doing, buddy? I love to be on your show, my friend.
Thank you, Manny. I appreciate it. Are you calling from Milwaukee right now?
Hey, Dave, we're on the 94 freeway headed west. Just left the game, me and my son. Wow. We're a little bit defeated, don't get me wrong. We drove all the way out here to see the game from Chicago. And,
We
traveled to see the boys in blue. And we had some fans out there, you know, and it was pretty, pretty depressing tonight, to say the least.
Manny, are you going to go watch the Dodgers at Wrigley Field? Are you going to Wrigley as well, going back to Chicago to watch them?
I will be there two out of the three nights, Dave, for sure.
Well, you got to call us back after one of those games at Wrigley, all right, Manny?
Yeah, hopefully we look a lot better, Dave. But listen, I just wanted to bring up, man, what I saw, you know, tonight. You know, one of the things that I know you mentioned about Cody, but you know what we're missing? We're missing the swag, Dave. We're missing, you know, we got Turner there. But that's it. Everybody is pressing. You can sense it in the air. You're just there. And everybody's pressing. They're trying. It's like there's nobody's loose out there. I'm sure you're here. You've seen it for yourself. You know, the bullpen, everybody is just pressing too hard. We need Belly back. We need McKinstry. We need that spark plug. Don't get me wrong. They're doing well. But we miss Kike. Kike was our, he was the guy that loosened everybody up. We need a Kike. We got to do.
All right, Manny. Thanks for the phone call. We'll talk to you in Chicago. Got to run. I want to go out long distance here to Melbourne, Australia. Stuart, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, Dave. Thanks very much for taking my call, mate. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. That's pretty cool. You're calling from Melbourne, Australia, Stuart. I'm pretty flattered that you're listening on the iHeartRadio app all the way out there.
Mate, please lose, so... you get on and watch whatever, watch it whenever you can, and listen in to you to get all the information you need. One thing I'm noticing, whenever I'm jumping on this whole, rock a bad start, rock to this, rock to that, we're 26 games into the season.
I couldn't make you out, Stuart. Could you try it one more time? You might have been in the harbor right there. I'm not sure.
No, I reckon I was just in a dodgy spot for mobile reception. Sorry about that. What I'm looking at is we're 26 games into a season, and everyone's already on that "oh woe is me" style of thinking. You know, it's like 26 games out of a long season. We're sitting half a game out of top spot. Come on, guys, we've got this. We're the Dodgers. We always come out of the other side. We're always looking good.
Okay, I like that positivity, Stuart. Thanks a lot for listening to us and calling all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Appreciate it. I love going to Sydney with the Dodgers. That was a pretty awesome experience to be there for opening day a few years back. I believe it was 2014 the Dodgers were there for opening day. So I love going to Australia. Hope I can make it back there one day. Another guy that was there in Sydney was the GM of the Dodgers that season, Ned Coletti. He's now a Sportsnet LA analyst, as you know, and he'll check in with us when we continue. We'll get his thoughts on the Dodger offense and that play in the eighth inning, and also the Dodger bullpen took another big blow today as far as injuries go. We'll fill you in on that, and we'll get Ned's take on how the Dodgers stay above water with all these injuries to their relief pitchers. Dodgers fall to the Brewers 2-1 on AM570 LA Sports.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM570.
Dodger Talk is available on AM570LASports.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Back to more Dodger Talk with Dodger Insider David Vasse.
Dodgers fall in Milwaukee 2-1. Eric Lauer gets the win. Trevor Bauer, the losing pitcher, and Josh Hader with the save, his sixth of the season. Bauer went the distance tonight, 8 innings, 2 earned runs, a 2-run shot by Travis Shaw with 2 outs was the difference in the game tonight. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, but we want to go out to the Sportsnet LA studios where former Dodger GM Ned Coletti joins us right now. Ned, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, David.
Ned, let's start, before we get into the bullpen issues and the injuries the Dodgers have sustained, I want to point out and go to that eighth inning where I was talking about Mookie Betts taking a walk on 4 pitches from Devin Williams. He obviously was off tonight, and Corey Seager did what Corey Seager does and swung at the first pitch. But I'm just curious from your perspective, does he have to have better game awareness there with the way the Dodger offense is going, with the way he's going, and the way Williams was going to start that inning?
Are you talking about the double play ball that he hit?
Not the result of the double play, but swinging at the first pitch after Williams was all over the place on 4 pitches to Mookie and not allowing Mookie to try to steal.
That's a thought to get him into second base there. You know, Corey does offer at the first pitch a lot. I mean, it was a good pitch to hit. He did square it up. Urias and Wong made a tremendous play in the middle of the field for it. I think there's when you struggle offensively, there's a lot of different things that you might want to change up. Seager's been so good for so long. It's been, whatever he sees, something he thinks he can handle, he's going to offer, and he's not, unless they don't run a whole lot, unless the steal sign was on, he's going to have to take a chance and drive it, which he did. Unfortunately, Urias happened to make the great play.
He hit it on the ground. I know it was a great play, but I don't know. I'm not against him swinging at the first pitch, Ned. Don't get me wrong. He's a 400 hitter on the first pitch, but I just thought in that game situation, the game awareness there, it's not always about you and your swing and what you like to do.
Well, again, if the steal sign was on or if he knew that Mookie was going to try and steal, totally different story. If the steal sign isn't on, then it's his job to advance the runner. And he's going to pick out the best pitch he can find, especially when guys are struggling. They see something they can handle. Unless there's a different type of play on, they're probably not going to sit and wait on it when he has hit 400 off swing at the first pitch. And it was an excellent pitch for him to do something with, I thought.
Ned, overall for the Dodger offense against lefties, it seems like we're back to where we were in 2018. They're just ineffective against left-handers, and Eric Lauer seems to really own them. He was 5-0 with the Padres. Now he's 6-0 against the Dodgers. What's the biggest dilemma for the Dodgers against southpaws again this year?
Yeah, it's a great question, especially when you got JT and Mookie. And CT3 and Pollock. You've got four really good, and Will Smith. You've got a lot of good right-handed hitters. I thought the lineup tonight with seven right-handers in it, or six if you don't want to count Trevor, six out of the eight, I thought the right-handed overbalance there was to their benefit. But Lauer doesn't seem to pitch well against anybody but one team. He gets hit around a lot of balls middle of the plate, left a lot of pitches in the middle. Dodgers may be anxious, whatever. A lot of pop-ups, a lot of fly balls, a couple double play balls that Urias and Wong turned. But he's pitched great against them. Sometimes you get that situation where somebody's got somebody's number. But if I got Lauer on my staff, I'm not excited seeing him work against the Dodgers with his stuff versus their bats, even though they have struggled against lefties again this year.
Yeah, coming into the game, the Dodgers had the most strikeouts against left-handed pitching at 80. They only struck out three times against Lauer, and they're hitting .219 against lefties coming into the game tonight. So it feels like we're back in 2018, and hopefully those right-handed bats start to do what they were brought in to do, and that's hit left-handed pitching, that's for sure. Ned Coletti joins us from the Sportsnet LA studios. Ned, as far as the bullpen issues go, another injury, a significant injury to Brustar Graterol in this Dodger bullpen with right forearm tightness. That's never what you want to hear, right?
No, not a good message at all. And obviously he just came back not too long ago when the team was in San Diego. So a very short stint. And apparently, he had a COVID issue early in the camp and was behind. Perhaps it was something else that was bothering him. But that's not a good sign. You've got a lot of relief pitching out right now. You've got some of your offense that's out. I think they miss Bellinger a lot in the middle of that lineup. Not that it's an excuse. Every team has got injuries. Starting pitching, by and large, has been very good and keep teams in games, but you got to be able to capitalize. And when you turn it over to your bullpen, you got to be able to shut it down, especially when you're struggling to produce offense. Bullpen is really important tomorrow. Bullpen game. So you're going to see four or five at least, probably different relief pitches going out to try to be efficient and get some outs.
I know it's hard to keep track, so I'll just list the names that are on the injured list in the Dodger bullpen. Corey Knebel, out months. Brustar Graterol, out indefinitely. Joe Kelly, maybe coming back in May. David Price, out with a hamstring injury. And not to mention starter/reliever Tony Gonsolin, still not throwing with a shoulder issue that started around the freeway series. Where do the Dodgers turn now for high-leverage relievers outside of guys named Blake Treinen and Kenley Jansen?
That's a good question. They got to hope to get more out of Jimmy Nelson and some others. You just named five pitchers there that are all guys that have contributed to the staff at different points in time. Gonsolin, when you talk about shoulder, that's not a good sign. The forearm with Graterol, not a good sign. We know Knebel, who really threw well a few times at least, that's not a good sign. So while the team has been a lot of injury-free for the most part compared to a lot of teams the last few years, you know, they're catching up right now, and it's a tough place to be. Luckily, they've got at least some starting pitching that can give them 5, 6, 7 innings sometimes. A lot of teams that would have this types of injuries with a rotation that is a 4 or 5 inning group is really going to tax it. But you've got a lot of different things that they got to be aware of, especially the length of the season and doubling up plus on it, because that's going to put wear and tear on guys as well. Got to get some guys healthy, although it sounds like some of these guys are going to be out for a while.
All right, Ned, let's end this on a good note. Trevor Bauer, outstanding again tonight. Unfortunately, no run support, but you just mentioned it. If it wasn't for the Dodgers starting pitching, I would hate to think what their record would be. Is this one of the best 1 through 5s you've seen in a Dodger rotation in a long time?
Oh, it might be the best 1 through 5. You know, I go back a ways, and, you know, the 1 through 4, when that was all the rage, you know, they had a great 1 through 4 back in the 60s. But, you know, in this era with the changes in the game, it's a very, very strong 1 through 5. You want your starting pitchers to give your team a chance to win the game, and they almost always do that. There's been very few starts that haven't exceeded 5 innings and haven't been effective, and that's what you need out of your starters, especially with what we've talked about, an offense that is slumped right now and a bullpen that's starting to get some wear and tear on it and also has a lot of guys that cannot pitch for a while. You better have that starting pitching, keep you in games, and better start to execute.
All right, Ned, we'll check in with you tomorrow night. Hopefully that bullpen game goes well. Mitchell White has been activated, so you would assume that he'll be a big part of that. And the guy you mentioned, Jimmy Nelson, the former Brewer, you would think he would be part of it as well. So hopefully it goes well. They need some runs tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll need some innings out of those guys really early. You can't be falling behind in the counts. You got to be efficient with your pitches and get outs quickly.
All right, Ned, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
All right, David. Talk to you. See you, bud.
There he goes, Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Dodgers fall to the Brewers 2-1 in Milwaukee. This is the first of 4 games against the Brewers, and then the Dodgers head over to Chicago for 3 games starting on Monday at Wrigley Field. And to wrap up this road trip, they'll finish up with 3 games in Anaheim next weekend. 866-987-2570. Do you feel like Corey Seager is above being criticized? I mean, everybody's jumping down my throat. I've never criticized this guy on the air. But when I see something, I'm going to point it out. And I've always said this. I don't think any manager, any player, no matter how great they are, is above criticism. Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, they all got criticized in this town. So sorry if everybody's so sensitive over criticizing Corey Seager for the first time since 2015 on this show. Let's go out to San Diego. Tom, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Tom.
Hey, David. I just want to give you a compliment. I'm 78 years old. I started going to the Dodgers in 1958 at the Coliseum. I'm an extremely loyal former season ticket holder. So I think I see the large picture. And I just want to compliment you. This is the only reason I'm calling. And it's so funny that you just said that people are jumping down your throat. I called, and I've been on hold for a while, to compliment you for telling the truth. And it's probably a combination of that's your style, And the Dodgers have given you permission to be honest. Somewhere is a combination of both of those things, I'm sure. But it's so damn refreshing. So thank you.
Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it. And just curious what your first Dodger game ever was, since you've been such a lifelong fan.
Gosh, I was in high school in Santa Monica. I was the first guy in our bunch to have a car. We'd drive over there. We'd sit in the left field screen, you know, behind the net where Wally Moon used to hit his home runs. At the end of the game, we would jump over. The answer to the question is I don't remember the first game. But we frequently did this, and we would jump over the wall and run down the third baseline to see if we could get to home plate before we got thrown out.
Wow, that's awesome. That is great. Hey, so you got to see a moonshot at the Coliseum, right?
That when you're 16 and a half years old, that's the stuff that you do.
In simpler times, Tom, no doubt about it. Simpler times. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
1959, we enjoyed the World Series, and, you know, so keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. 866-987-2570. Justin Turner was the only Dodger tonight with two hits. So let's hear from the leader of the ball club on where things stand with him as far as assessing this offense.
Yeah, Trevor was great. I think he made one mistake, really, to Shaw, where, you know, he left that curveball in the middle of play. But other than that, he was outstanding, efficient, and gave us a chance to win.
Thanks, JT.
Next question is from Jorge Castillo. Go ahead.
Justin, I know every game is different, but just here the last couple weeks with the offense, are you seeing anything in general there, or any takeaways you have? Is it just some bad luck? How would you sort of describe it?
Yeah, I think a little bit of bad luck is definitely in there, and you know, hitting a lot of balls hard and not getting rewarded for it, which, you know, makes it tough to you know, feel confident, right? You take a good at bat and you hit a ball hard, and when you don't get rewarded, it's frustrating, and that can fester a little bit, and you know, then you go out there the next time and maybe try to do a little more, which, you know, isn't a great recipe.
I guess, how do you snap out of that? Maybe not pressing. Is it just a matter of just finding a hole and kind of rolling from there?
Yeah, I think you just understand that, you know, we're taking good at bats, we're hitting balls hard, and eventually, you know, they'll get back to finding holes, and we'll be able to pass the baton like we're used to.
And that was Justin Turner after the game tonight in Milwaukee. I got to be honest with you, and I hate saying that. That means that I hadn't been honest with you the entire show. But for me, the bigger issue is not the offense. These guys are too good to continue to be this inconsistent with scoring runs. For me, the biggest issue now is the bullpen. You're not going to get a complete game every game, no matter how good Kershaw, Bauer, May, and Urias are. Not having Knebel and Gratterall are huge losses for the Dodgers. When Andrew Friedman constructed this bullpen, those were two of the high-leverage pillars that he was building and counting on. They were, you know, low-risk, high-reward type of guys. I mean, remember when the Dodgers and Red Sox and Twins were trying to make that Mookie Betts trade, the Red Sox balked at taking Gratterall because they paused at the MRI scans of his arm, and here he is with forearm tightness. So this is not a shocking development when it comes to Brewstar Gratterall. It just comes at horrible timing, and you don't expect it to be right now. And Corey Knebel, coming off Tommy John surgery, he was seemed to be fully recovered, and now he strains his right lat, which is not connected to that. Bad timing. Joe Kelly hasn't made a pitch yet this year. David Price, who volunteered to go into the bullpen, was pitching really well. He's out now with a hamstring issue, and Tony Gonsolin hasn't made a pitch this year either. So I don't know. For me, I don't know where Dave Roberts turns for high leverage outs now in close games. Outs, you can't pitch Trinan and Jansen every game. So I'm not, you know, we've talked about the eighth inning and the offense a little bit tonight, and I feel like everybody right now is trying to pretend the bullpen's not an issue because Bauer went the distance. But for me, the bullpen is a major issue for the Dodgers. And it doesn't make it any easier when you see Dylan Floro flourishing for the Marlins and Jake McGee flourishing for the Giants. That whenever things don't go your way, you start to look around and see what other guys are doing. And unfortunately, it hasn't panned out the right way for the Dodgers so far this season with their relief corps. Let's go out to Hacienda Heights. Hector, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Hector.
Hi, David. Hey, great job as always. Hey, I think this is even more of a need. Now, you know, you're talking about our struggles with the bullpen. I think knowing that, I think Roberts has to change or write his managing style in terms of manufacturing runs. Another question I have is in terms of Mookie Betts. It's not about his bat. It's about his health, because he doesn't seem to be like running as hard from home to first, and he's not stealing bases. So is he 100%? because I just don't see that same type of aggressiveness that I saw the latter part of last year. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the phone call, Hector. And yeah, I question whether or not he was himself on the homestand, and then you see him look more like himself yesterday. But I was dipping in and out of the television broadcast, and Nomar was filling in for Oral. And I'm always listening whenever Nomar's talking hitting. And he actually said this on Dodger Talk a couple of days ago, that he just feels like Mookie's not seeing the ball really well, and he's unsure of himself. And in tonight's game, he proved out to be true, because he got struck out looking the first two times at the plate. And in the ninth inning, that was a tough at-bat for Mookie Betts, because there was a ball way outside that the home plate umpire called a strike for Josh Hader. I'm not sure if the umpire had dinner plans or what was going on, but it's hard enough to get a hit and face Josh Hader in the ninth inning, but when he's getting calls two inches off the plate for a strike, it's almost impossible. So I think Mookie just is not seeing the ball really well right now, and you know that's evident when he takes two called strike threes in the first two at-bats tonight. So I'm not under any false pretenses that when Mookie goes, the Dodgers will go. And until then, it's gonna be inconsistent until Mookie and Seager are synced up the way they were last season. Will it happen again? Every season is unique to itself. I'm not sure if they could do that again, but it would be nice to get it going for a stretch like it was, I guess, for a week or so there, because Seager started out hot, and then when Seager cooled off, Mookie's never been hot to start the year, honestly. He's hitting .250 with an OPS of .768, and he's continuing to struggle against left-handed pitching. So I'll just leave it there. The Dodgers need Mookie Betts to be Mookie Betts. And until he is, this Dodger offense is not going to be hitting on all cylinders. I don't care if Cody Bellinger and Zach McKinstry are in the lineup. It's just not going to happen until Mookie gets going. All right, that'll do it for us on Dodger Talk tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow. It'll be a bullpen game. Expect to see Mitchell White in it. He'll be going up against Freddy Peralta. Morongo Casino, Dodgers on Deck, begins at 4 o'clock with first pitch at 5:10. Thanks to Colin Yee at a Burbank Studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald at Dodger Stadium holding down the fort. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app. Once again, the final score in Milwaukee, the Brewers defeat the Dodgers 2-1. Have a great night. See ya.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.